Now, the makers of Cosmo Flakes, the breakfast of humanoids, bring you the thrilling conclusion to the most recent adventures of Redshift, the sworn defender of justice, fair play, and writers who get residuals off internet sales. The story so far, Redshift and his crew on vacation in Hollywood have taken it upon themselves to help Lumpy's favorite Hollow star, Jetpack Jones.
That's Arthur. Arthur Kognoski.
Have it your way. The crew decided to help Lumpy's favorite Hollow star, Arthur Kognoski, better known as Jetpack Jones, produce a Hollow series to satisfy his best and worst fans. Lumpy, no stranger to writing his own Jetpack Jones stories, is called upon to write Jetpack out of trouble for real. But with time running out, Lumpy's not sure if he can finish the fic and fulfill the full fantasy of the fickle fanbase.
What she said. Guys, I'm afraid I can't do this. There's only a few hours left until this episode is supposed to air. I've only got a rough draft, and it's not working.
Well, let me take a look at it, Lumpy. I'm sure I can help.
I promise you won't make fun of it.
I promise. Just hand over the electronic notepad and let me take a look.
And so, with her newspaper experience and keen eye for detail, Penny Parker takes a critical, yet kind, first look at Lumpy's rough draft.
Lumpy? There's this key on your electronic notepad called Caps Lock.
And a few minutes later, our favorite girl reporter has finished her assessment.
All right, Lumpy, I've made some corrections, cleaned up your grammar, and made sure you didn't use any words that could get us in Dutch with the network.
Well, you didn't have to do all that, Penny. A do-gooder always makes sure to keep it clean. But what did you think of the story?
I'm going to be as polite and diplomatic as possible, Lumpy. I think what you've got here from a story standpoint is good to go, mostly.
Good to go, mostly? Hey, that doesn't sound so bad.
Oh, indeed not, Miss Parker. But just between you and me, why mostly?
Frankly, Doc, there's just not enough time to actually fix the story, considering we're working under the most important deadline of our lives. In the words of my editor, Harvey Fairman, we'll go with what we've got.
We'll go with what we've got. Say, that's pretty catchy. Mind if I use it?
Sure, Red, but I don't think you'll run into many situations where you can use it.
You'd be surprised.
There is one worry I have, Lumpy, and it's a character issue. I wouldn't ask, but since there's only one female role, and I assume I'm playing her...
You mean Miss Jasmine? Yep, that's your role. What about her?
I'm worried that her character is, well, not very useful in this episode.
Not very useful? Gee willikers, Penny, Miss Jasmine's very useful. She runs the Terminus Saloon, the last watering hole on the edge of the galaxy. Tell her, Jetpack.
For frack's sake, Lumpy, that's my character's name. I'm just plain old Arthur Kognoski. Please, please, please call me Arthur. Can you do that for me?
Sure thing, Jetpack.
Egads, it's mutated into a running gag.
Penny, I can assure you that Miss Jasmine is indeed one of the most crucial characters in the series. Her saloon serves as Jetpack's unofficial base of operations.
Every good adventure starts in a saloon.
Fine. But in this episode, all Miss Jasmine does is find herself in mortal peril, and it's a pretty silly contrivance, if you ask me. It barely fits in with the actual story. It's as if you've written her in simply so that she can be saved by Jetpack Jones.
Well, that's pretty much kind of what Miss Jasmine is for. She finds herself in mortal peril and Jetpack saves her.
Doesn't she ever get caught up in the intrigue? Doesn't she ever help Jetpack cut him off at the pass? Doesn't she ever round up the bad guys and save the day?
No, she pretty much just finds herself in mortal peril and Jetpack has to save her.
The hero must have someone to save. It's a staple of the adventure melodrama. A common device, really.
We don't need a device. We need a character. Look, you've got Miss Jasmine tied to a rocket gantry while the villain monologues at her. How do you tie someone to a rocket gantry? It makes no sense. And you don't even give a reason for it.
Sometimes evil needs no reason.
Sometimes evil needs no reason. That's catchy, too. Mind if I use it?
Oh, I don't mind. But you'll have to clear it with one of our lawyers.
Will do.
Take it from your story editor, Lumpy. Miss Jasmine is completely irrelevant to this story. We can remove her role entirely.
I think I liked it better when we didn't have enough time to actually fix the story.
Well, that's all right, Lumpy. I think we can write Miss Parker in as a different character. What do you think?
Maybe one of Jetpack's nemesis?
That's it! She could play Femme Fatale. Oh, now she's a villain. A perfect foil for Jetpack. a great source of vague sexual tension. And we haven't had an episode featuring Femme Fatalia in quite a long time.
Well, that's because the last time we saw her, she was sinking headfirst into the lava pits of Magmar 4.
Oh, yes, that's right. Henrietta was fired and they were writing her out.
Who's Henrietta?
Henrietta Nilkonk. She played Femme Fatalia from episodes 24 through 98. She was an excellent vamp.
But a terrible negotiator when her contract was up. A shame, really. She went the same way as Tantuo the First is gone. Except with lava instead of a voice change.
Sorry to hear about that. But if the role's available, I'll take it.
Well, okay, you can be Femme Fatalia. But how does she get out of the lava pits?
You're the writer, Lumpy. You get her out of the lava pits. Use your imagination. You can do whatever you want. You've got unlimited power over the entire Jetpack Jonesiverse. Now is the time to tap that power.
I think I can do this. Let's see. The only person to actually see Femme Fatalia fall into the pit was Jetpack. Maybe it was all just a dream.
Oh, God, no. Nobody will believe that. That's terrible.
Oh, man.
Okay, they can't all be winners.
That's all right, Lumpy. A little failure is to be expected in the creative process. Come on, folks, let's give the man room to think.
Thanks, Red. Now, how about, it wasn't really Femme Fatale who fell into the lava pits at all, but instead, her twin sister.
Twin sisters.
On the other hand, old chum, we don't have much time for more failure.
Besides, Miss Jasmine's the one with the twin sister. She runs the saloon on the other edge of the galaxy. Keep trying, Lumpy.
She was really a robot all along, and her indestructible tritanium skeleton survived the lava, and she eventually pulled herself out of the pits and just spent the last three seasons reconstructing herself in secret?
Well, it could work, huh? Assuming the rest of the robot systems were insulated and... Say, that might scientifically and reasonably explain...
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I really don't mean to barge in here like this and introduced and all, but I think you're overlooking the simplest solution. Femme Fatalia has a clone, which was activated upon her death. It's easy, quick, and what the writers had intended if she ever were to come back.
Wait just one second. One nurse, Major. Who are you?
And how did you get in here?
By the mighty Quigley Mountains, it's Henrietta Nilkonk! What an astounding coincidence. We were just talking about you.
I know, my pointy ears were burning. I apologize for not announcing my presence earlier, but I'm so glad I found you, Arthur. I heard you were in trouble and I knew you'd be hiding out here, where our first episodes were filmed. Is there anything I can do to help?
Well, you won't believe it, but we were just considering resurrecting Femme Fatalia. Do you think you could reprise your role, or would it be too difficult to get back into the role so quickly?
Oh, please, Jetpack. You make me laugh. It's not difficult at all. Femme Fatalia is notoriously easy.
No, wait, I didn't mean to say that. Did I really say that? Oh, I said it. I'm sorry, but I've never been good at ad-libbing.
That's all great, Anne. Our man Lumpy here has written a full script. Haven't you, Lumpy?
I don't know, have I?
Of course you have. We've got a full cast now. I'm playing Jetpack Jones, of course. What's the rest of your casting look like, Lumpy?
Well, Red will be playing Black Hole Bart. He's a real baddie.
It's the part I was never born to play.
Doc, you're going to be Tantuo. We've got the robot suit right here.
I hope it fits. But in case I get stuck, please have a laser buzz saw at the ready.
And Penny was going to be Miss Jasmine, but then we decided to write her out and use Femme Fatalia instead. But then Henrietta Nilkonk turned up. Wow, Henrietta Nilkonk. So she gets the part, and I guess that means Miss Jasmine is back in, so that's you, Penny.
Imagine my glee.
And whom do you play, Lumpy?
I'm Marty Studebaker, lovable technician at large, but everybody calls me Pudgy.
And what do you get to do?
You'll see. Come on, gang. We've got this abandoned float stage, and Arthur's got access to the costume department. Let's put on a show.
And so, after a quick rewrite and a costume change, the binary transfer unit begins to roll, and shooting begins on Lumpy's episode of Jetpack Jones, Galactic Troubleshooter.
Blast it, Tantuo! Blast it all to smithereens! I can't believe what Black Hole Bart has done to you!
Don't worry, Jetpack turns to face him. I'm sure if I can get used to this orange glow, so can anyone. Gestures at the camera.
You mustn't believe that! You're a turquoise model! Always have been, always will be! We'll find a way to change you back!
Are you sure? Looks worried. According to my programming, this orange virus will completely shut me down for good if you try to remove it. Sit down. Oh, I'm supposed to sit down, aren't I? Oh, I see. How clever. Okay, I'll try here. Oh! I'm all right.
Of course you'll be all right, Tantuo. We'll find Black Hole Bart and force him to hand over the antidote program. I won't let the orange virus win. We've got to save you! We've got to make a stand!
Is it all right if I make my stand lying down?
Fine with me. But wait, who's that approaching? She looks familiar!
So, Jetpack, once more we meet.
Femme Fatalia.
Jetpack Jones.
A little help here?
You can't possibly be alive. The last time I saw you, you were sinking headfirst into the lava pits of Magmar 4.
You saw correctly. It was no dream. And it wasn't my twin sister. And I wasn't an indestructible robot. I was, however, extremely clever and cloned myself in case I ever were to die unexpectedly. That's right, Jetpack. You're looking at a clone.
I've no time for clones. I must hunt down Black Hole Bart and save Tantuo!
Forget the robot. Forget everything. Run away with me. We'd make a great team. You know that. And my implanted memory tells me that you loved me once.
Yes, once. And it was a mistake, you hear me? A mistake! The howls of protest were so loud, you could hear them all the way on the other side of the galaxy!
I don't recall you protesting.
This isn't about me anymore, don't you see? It's about robot service and maintenance! Tantuo is glowing orange!
So? A cosmetic change. And speaking of cosmetic changes, wait till you see what I have done with my...
He's glowing orange because a virus has shut down all his cooling fans.
Let him burn, then. He's just a robot.
We'll all be consumed in a torrent of flames.
I'm already smoldering.
Enough! Normally, I'd never strike a woman... But since you're a clone, hi, Kiba!
Ow.
Oh, Fatalia. I'd forgotten how beautiful you look when you're unconscious. I'm sorry I have to knock you out and jet away, but Tantuo's cooling system needs to be fixed. I have no choice, Fatalia. I've got fans to service. Jetpack away!
Pardon me, madam, but you landed on my gasket.
I'm so sorry. We can edit that out, can't we? Yeah?
And so, with precious minutes ticking away until the deadline of all deadlines, the crew rushes to set Dr. Albert's back upright and finish the episode before it's too late. We'd love to show you the entire thing, trust us, but instead, we take you to the final scene where Jetpack Jones tracks the notorious Black Hole Bart down to some remote corner of the galaxy frontier.
All right, Black Hole Bart, I've tracked you down to this remote corner of the galactic frontier, and now it's time for justice!
Aha! Jetpack Jones, I got the jump on you! We meet again, and this time it will be your last. I've got you right where I want you. Your days are numbered. You and your pathetic forces can't stop me. I'm invincible. This time the ball's in my court.
Bart, it's time we settled this once and for all.
You thought I was dead. Well, think again. There's a new ruler in town, and that ruler is me. Remember when I said I'd kill you last? I lied. Scream all you want. We're in space and nobody can hear you. Guards!
I've taken care of them all, Black Hole Bart. It's just you and me. Now, hand over Tantuo's virus patch, or I'll blow you to smithereens!
You know, I'm beginning to understand why my arch nemeses have so much fun. They get all the good lines.
Enough! Hand over the patch!
Oh, the patch. Yes, the patch. It's on this encrypted optodisc right here. But don't you want to know what else I've done?
All right, I'll ask. What else have you done?
I've tied your friend, Miss Jasmine, to that rocket gantry up there.
Help! Jetpack! Help!
Sure, you could decrypt the patch and save your robot, but that rocket is set to blast off and take Miss Jasmine with it. But in the time it would take you to jet all the way up the gantry and save Miss Jasmine, Tantu-O will overheat for good.
Hurry, Jetpack, help.
What a terrible dilemma! What am I to do?
I say fix the robot and write me out of this series, please!
Say, maybe I can be of assistance.
Oh, no. It's a dashingly handsome yet subtly sensitive technician.
Jumpin' Jovians, who are you?
The name's Marty. Marty Studebaker. But you can call me Pudgy for short. I was just in the sector looking for robots to fix, and I see you've got one right here.
Yes, that's my robot, Tantu-O. A horrible virus has shut down his cooling system entirely. That's why he's glowing orange!
Orange looks terrible on him. I can tell he's a turquoise model to be sure. Always has been, always will be. Don't you worry, mister. I know everything there is to know about robots and viruses and stuff. I'll fix your robot while you save that lady.
Stellar idea! Jetpack away!
No! No! It can't be! The technician is actually fixing Tantu-O.
Stands up. Glows turquoise. Tantu-O is back online. Safe, sound, and turquoise. Thank you, Technician Pudgy. Dances the robot.
Curses! Jetpack Jones has gone and rescued Miss Jasmine from the rocket gantry before the rocket blasted off.
Oh, Jetpack, you saved me. My hero.
Anytime, Miss Jasmine! As for you, Black Hole Bart, this electro net will keep you tied up until the Federales arrive.
Captured again and being lifted in the air by an electro net. No!
Captured, lifted, and hung from your own rocket gantry. How's that for irony?
I'll get you for this, Jetpack Joan, if it's the last thing I... Ow! Wedgie.
Say, Pudgy, you're a good man in a tight spot. Here's an official Jetpack Jones mini communicom. If I ever need you, I'll give you a call on that, okay?
I'll always be around to lend a hand if you need me.
I have a feeling we'll be seeing more of you in the near future. Come on, Miss Jasmine. Tantu-O and I are ready to leave this chunk of frontier rock.
Thank you for saving me. Now come on back to the saloon. The drinks are on me.
Now that sounds like an idea. So long, Pudgy. Jetpack away!
Cut! That's a wrap, everybody.
Nice work, Lumpy. You did an incredible job as a first-timer. Now, how much time do we have left before the episode transmits?
Roughly 43 minutes, Arthur? Mr. Cognowski?
Thank you. That's more than enough time to edit the episode and have it ready for transmission. Dr. Alberts, come with me. You can help me in post-production.
But I thought that editing a program takes forever. We'll never finish in time.
Sure we will. We'll be using the Editron 350. You simply give it all the raw footage, and the Editron does the rest. In less than 15 minutes, we'll have ourselves a show. It's got to be around here somewhere.
I think it's over here.
Oh, yes, there it is. Oh, dash it to gravel. That's an Editron 150. By Agar, if this soundstage is so old that it only has a 150 model, we may be in for more trouble than I expected.
Well, I'm sure that with a little technical finesse, it will function perfectly. And if that doesn't work, we can always smack it on the side with suitable force.
That wouldn't help. The Editron 150 is the model that was recalled due to fatal continuity errors. We'll have to edit the show the old-fashioned way, by hand. How quickly can you sort through 5 billion columns of ones and zeros?
Not fast enough. Let's take our chances with the Editron. Now, personally, I find the open palm side smashing technique to be the most effective, though some of my colleagues prefer pounding the top of the device with a fist.
This is no time for scientific karate, Doc. The Spedicotians have arrived in their hover car, and they're ready to see the episode, finished or not.
Yeah, we want to see the first before you send it out to the mundanes.
We get first dibs. We always get first dibs. Angry face.
Very well. We'll use the Editron 150. But if my jetpack goes missing during a crucial shot, Jones's death will be on your hands. All of them.
Just start the editing already, Buckethead.
That's jetpack... Oh, never mind.
And so Arthur Buckethead Kosnowski feeds the footage to the Editron 150. Lights blink, reel-to-reel tapes whir, and 15 minutes later, the finished product is ready. The files are burned onto an OptiDisc and handed over to the ferocious fans for final approval. The Spedicotians eagerly view it and then prepare to pass their judgment.
Well, Jetpack, we're ready to pass our judgment.
Which is?
We liked it. We really liked it. All our quibbles were mollified. Ton 2-0 grows turquoise again, and there were hardly any continuity errors at all.
Applauding hands.
I knew you'd come through, Lumpy.
Oh, shucks. I'd like to think of this production as one big recipe, you know? We had a bunch of crazy ingredients and some written instructions on how to mix them all together, and this machine cooked it all up for us.
Oh, beautiful metaphor, roll eyes. So, just out of idle curiosity, is the final cut stored anywhere else besides this OptiDisc?
Sure. The Editron keeps a copy in its memory in case someone does something stupid, like drop it or atomize it or eat it. Yes, it's been done.
And you haven't sent the show out yet?
No. We have to run it through the holo sensor program first.
Excellent. In that case, stay right where you are!
Oh, good heavens!
Watch where you aim that flamethrower. You might hurt someone.
That's the point!
What's going on, Kaz? This isn't part of our mission.
Chains and plans, Jit. Nin, erase the files in the Editron's memory.
You got it. Confused face with a question mark over it.
But I don't understand.
As usual, noob. Nin, are those files erased yet?
All set.
Then that makes this OptiDisc the most valuable piece of Jetpack Jones memorabilia in the galaxy. The single copy of Jetpack Jones' final adventure.
Final adventure? Just what are you trying to imply here?
Haven't you cretins figured it out yet? Yacht and I are...
going to steal the OptiDisc and make a mint off illegally copying it. Lumpy's told me about fiends like you. You're holo pirates. You're so vile, you're hated by all the other Spedicosians, and that's saying something.
It's not piracy, it's redistribution. For a profit.
You may call it wherever you like, but I call it breaking galactic law.
And to think the value of that OptiDisc will go up exponentially if it truly is the final Jetpack Jones episode.
But there's only one way to ensure that, and that's to...
All right, so now you're all not cretins. Ready the flamethrower, yachts. We're flaming Jetpack Jones for the last time.
And for the last time, my name is Arthur Kosnowski.
Whatever. Can I keep his ashes, Kaj? They'll sell well on Krell's list.
Sure, why not? Just be sure to include pictures of the charred aftermath of what's about to go down.
Say goodbye to all of this, Jetpack.
My name is Arthur!
Cats, that was a mean right hook.
My fang! I think I lost the fang! How'd that happen?
You didn't roll with my punch. You'd make an awful stuntsman.
And you busted my flamethrower! You'll pay for this, Jerkpack Jones!
Never mind the flaming. Our atomoplast briefcase bomb will finish the job. I'll set it to explode in, 30 seconds. Yeah, get in the hover card. We've got a rocket to catch. Destination? Space Station R.I.
Kaj, I don't think that...
Oh, you don't have to think, noob. You and Nin are going to stay here. To die.
That's not fair, after all we've done for you.
Suck it up, Buttercup. You have been trolled. Have a nice day.
We've 30 seconds until detonation? Quick. Whoa. Somebody improvise a blast shield.
It's all right. It's a cheap model. They all have the same disarm sequence. Let's see. Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right. There.
It's perfectly safe now.
For all the good that does, Cash and Yacht have the OptiDisc, and they're getting away with the only hover cart here.
Well, actually, Jit, that's not the case. I was poking around before you all arrived and found three studio hover carts in a side garage. Oh, and in the guard shack, I found some spare laser blasters as well.
Dibs!
Take your pick.
All right, Lumpy, it's time for Plan X-13. You and I will take this hover cart along with Henrietta. Arthur and Doc, you take that two-seater. Penny, you, Nin, and Jit take the third and watch our six.
Don't forget the briefcase, Nin. We don't want any loose explosives hanging around.
Got it.
It's go time!
Arthur? We aren't moving. Is something wrong with the engine?
No. We are the engine. Look down at your feet.
Oh, why, there appear to be pedals in my seat well.
Yep. The studio only gives motorized hover carts to tour guests and stars. Guards and technicians have to use pedal carts, just like this one.
Oh, I don't believe it.
They're going to have to. Start pedaling, Doc. We've got a lot of sky to cover.
And thus begins an amazing and exciting chase through the many floating sound stages of Hollywood. Red skillfully pilots his hovercraft while Henrietta looks for a way to cut the hollow pirates off.
Okay, Red, take a left at float station B19. Now, take a right and cut through Laguna Plaza. Oh, don't mind the robot crew. I'm sure they're just resting between takes. Oh, hi there. Sorry about that. I'm sure you can edit that out later.
Henrietta, are you sure this is the shortcut to the launch pads?
Of course. I use it all the time. Pull up! Terribly sorry. I'll pay for that as soon as I get back.
Oh, gosh. I hope that Alpha Centauri set wasn't too expensive.
Meanwhile, Penny and her crew are directly pursuing their prey.
We're gaining on them, Jit. Can't this cart go any faster?
I've got my pseudopod to the polystyrene, Nin. We're maxed out.
Would pressing this button help?
Well, good afternoon, everybody. And welcome to the Subatomic Studios hover cart tour. How are we all today?
Activated the robotic tour system. Where's the off button?
Now this is my favorite part of the tour. What's that ahead? Oh no, look out. It's a bunch of homicidal holo pirates.
Say, we're within shooting range of those bozos. How good are you with the blaster, Penny?
Just watch.
Is that laser blaster real? Subatomic Studios strictly forbids live firearms aboard any tour vehicles. We'll have to stop and... Ooh, nice shot.
I'm returning, they're returning. There's no need to panic.
Oh, we're hit.
Okay, maybe we can panic just a little now.
Well, goodness, we're in trouble now, folks, what with our starboard hover engine out and all. We're spiraling out of control and are now on a collision course with float stage HGW2, which, by the way, was used for every single one of the Glarks Brothers' hilarious comedies. Brace yourself for a crash, folks, and thank you for visiting the amazing world of subatomic holography.
We'll never survive a crash at this speed.
If only Dr. Alberts were here with us.
Why? What do you think he would do if he were here?
Well, for starters, he'd probably say, we're doomed! Doomed! Doomed!
While three of our heroes plunge into a horrible looming fate, Dr. Alberts and Arthur are, well, pedaling.
How far have we gone, Dr. Alberts?
To the end of our own float stage. And I'm exhausted.
Me too. We're of no use to a chase scene with this clunker. But I think I know how we can still help. The studio commissary is directly below us. Do you see it? We can float down there and alert security.
Uh-huh. That's the smartest idea I've heard yet. And say, we can also track the others on my Jeepers device. It'll be fun. And, oh, is that an ice cream cart down there outside the commissary?
Why, it certainly is, Dr. Alberts. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed quite a few of their freeze-dried ice cream sandwiches during my union break.
Oh, excellent. We'll have a treat while we watch the Jeepers. Say, do they have Neapolitan down there?
No, the commissary is stocked entirely by Frigidarians.
Ah. I wonder what that was.
Sounded like a hover cart smashing into a float stage. But I could be wrong on that.
Meanwhile, Red and his crew have become hopelessly lost.
We're hopelessly lost.
Yeah, we passed those Triffids three times now.
And I haven't seen hide nor scale of the Spedicosians. They've gotten away.
Wait, Red! Doc's got the Jeepers device. Perhaps he can find them.
Excellent idea, Clumpy. I'll contact him on the Ristronomicon. Redshift calling Dr. Alberts. Are you there, Doc?
Yes, hello. Yes, this is Dr. Alberts on the Rish Communicom, speaking to you loud and clear.
Loud, maybe, but not so clear. Are you speaking with your mouth full? Are you at the snack bar, Doc?
The snack bar? Of course not. We're at the commissary. There's a difference. Our hover car encountered an engine difficulty, so Arthur and I decided to track down some security guards. It seems, however, that the studios were evacuated after the initial Spedacosian attack. There's nobody left but us.
Sounds grim, but I've seen grimmer. Doc, we've lost track of the holopirates. Do you think you can locate them on the Jeepers device?
Oh, I've already done so. Arthur and I have been watching them for the past 5 minutes now. It's very amusing. They've been fighting each other over who gets to hold the OptiDisc. And I think Cadge has just swallowed it out of spite. Yes, he did.
Listen carefully, Doc. This hover cart has a control uplink. If you connect us to the Jeepers device and set the holopirates as our target, our automatic pilot will lead us to them.
Oh, yes, I see what that is. How convenient. I'll activate it now.
Tell him to enable collision detection.
Oh, yeah. Doc, make sure you've turned collision detection on.
It's working! We're about to take down some pirates!
Thanks, Doc. Redshift out.
But what about Penny and the Spedacosians? Did they survive their crash into Float Stage HGW-2?
Whew, it's very fortunate that they're currently using Float Station HGW-2 to film the Marshmallow Moonkin visit the Pillow Planet.
Well, that answers that question.
Our covercraft looks no worse for the wear, and this briefcase full of explosive autonoclasts sustained no damage either.
Look across the way. I think I see Arthur and Dr. Alberts at the studio commissary. And, oh, crumbs, what's Doc eating this time?
It looks like a freeze-dried ice cream sand, which is just what we need. I know how we can beat Cash and Yacht. Come on, let's get to the commissary.
The three head for the commissary while Red, Lumpy, and Henrietta automatically pursue the Hollow Pirates.
Ew, they're spitting acid, Red.
But we've got blasters, Lumpy. Fire at will, or whatever that one's name is.
Dr. Alberts to Redshift. Dr. Alberts to Redshift, can you read me?
Loud and clear, Doc, but I'm a little busy right now. What can you report?
Miss Parker and the rest have joined up with us at the commissary, and we've devised a trap for the Hollow Pirates. Do you think you can lure them back here?
Considering we're chasing them, we'll need a diversion to get them to turn around.
Oh, leave it to me. Hey, Cash, what's this I hear about your mom and Dale Liverstus?
I wouldn't normally commend you for insulting somebody's mother, Lumpy, but great job! They're turning around, initiating manual override.
And faster than you can say, they made it to the commissary.
We've made it to the commissary.
And just in time, too. Here come the holopirates.
All right, enough is enough. First, we were going to flame you because that's a quick death. We were really going to be nice, you see? Then we were going to blow you up, which is also quick. But since you have the audacity to malign my mother's taste in writers, we're going to finish you off with acid. It'll be slow and painful. Yeah, start hawking!
All right, Red, it's now or never!
Snack on these, Hollow Pirates!
Harstus freeze-dried ice cream sandwich is my favorite.
Oh, God.
They're so delicious. I could eat these all day.
Who can think about exploding a beloved Hollisters when there's tasty chocolate cookie on the outside?
Delicious freeze-dried goodness on the in... And... Wait a minute. Something's wrong. Do I detect purple mist?
It tastes vaguely purplish to me. I don't feel so good.
I wouldn't be surprised, considering we secretly replaced the freeze-dried ice cream filling in your treats with explosive atomoplast. Let's see what happens.
Atomoplast? You set us up!
How could you?
Apparently it was pretty easy. Atomoplast looks and feels just like freeze-dried ice cream, doesn't it?
But once that unstable explosive reaches the natural acids in your Spedacosian stomachs...
Yarp!
Okay, that was disgusting.
Those explosions were slightly larger than we had calculated, Jit.
It settled their hash, didn't it?
Settled? It turned them into hash.
I never thought I'd see the day when junk food would effectively foil a villainous plot. But I've got to hand it to you guys. You've saved the Jetpack Jones show.
Not entirely, Red. You see, I have just realized a massive oversight. While those two nincompoops were fighting on their hover tram, Cadge swallowed the Optidisc. And since I don't see it in that pile of goo that once was our enemies, I'm afraid the last episode of Jetpack Jones has indeed been lost for all time.
No! Not my magnum opus! I don't think I can take it!
There, there, old chum.
But it took so long to make it, and I'll never have that recipe again!
Oh, no!
Not to worry, friends. The episode was not destroyed.
In fact, it's probably already been transmitted by now.
It has?
How so?
You see, we're not real Spedekosians. We're chameleoids from Mimica 7.
Ooh. Wow.
This is our true form. We're on an undercover mission from the Galactic Federation of Jetpack Jones Loyalists.
The Loyalists? You mean the Jetties?
Actually, we prefer to be called Jetters, if you don't mind.
And as Jetters, we're sworn to uphold and defend the Jetpack Jones show through thick and thin. Oh, sure. We can criticize it, but we do so constructively.
With as little backbiting and squabbling as possible.
Our objectives are to infiltrate the Spedekosians and subvert them from within. After 5 galactic years, we reached high enough rank among the most vile of them to be chosen for this special raid on Subatomic Studios.
We didn't expect Cash and Yacht to turn traitor and pursue hall piracy, but now that they're out of the way, our mission has just become a whole lot easier. Once the Spedekosians hear that we defeated hollow pirates, they may make us administrators. With that kind of political power, we'll really be able to do some damage.
Well, glad to hear it, but you still haven't explained how my episode was saved.
That's easy, Lumpy. Kaz told Nin to erase the episode from the Editron, and I'm willing to bet you a sonic screwdriver she didn't.
Of course I didn't. It's still there. I also sent a copy to the holosensor, which then sent it off to the main holotransmitter, and according to my chronometer, the show has now been seen by the entire galaxy. You've made the big time.
I did! Oh boy, cried Lumpy, and they all ran to monitor the instant feedback from the studio control building. The galaxy loved the show. Even better, Pudgy had become a quick fan favorite. What did you expect, Lumpy? Said Arthur. The audience knows a good character when they see it. And to think, said Red, this wouldn't have happened to us if we hadn't gone on vacation. Vacation? Said Penny. After this, I'm gonna need a vacation from this vacation. Everybody laughed. Nin and Jit returned to Spedekosia, became administrators, got married, and had a boy named Sue. Arthur and Henrietta got married, and Red, Lumpy, Penny, and Doc went back to the ship and blasted off for another exciting adventure. The end. So, what did you guys think? That was certainly a story, all right.
I like the part where I got to say all those catchphrases. Thanks for sharing your tale with us, Lumpy. When did you find time to write the whole thing?
Oh, I wrote it all in Marvember. It was part of Inpagafa Feastarimo.
Inpagidikajagugu. Just what in blazes does that gobbledygook mean?
Inpagafa Feastarimo. Inter-Pan-Galactic Fanfic Story Writing Month. It's this kind of challenge for writers, see? You have one whole galactic cycle to write a full story about your favorite show or movie or mind game or whatever. I wrote every day, and let me tell you, it was tough. In fact, I didn't nearly finish, but I was able to think of an ending on the very last day and finished it just in time.
I admire this exercise and work ethic, Lumpy, but please help me out here. There's just a few things I need to confirm. You wrote a story.
Yep.
About us.
Uh-huh.
Where we have to help your favorite holostar.
Right.
And in your story, you save the day by writing an episode of his show, which we then all star in.
Affirmative.
And in that story, your character saves the day.
Well, that's it in one. Aw, you were listening all along. Thanks, Penny.
You know, in the course of our exciting adventures, we've encountered bizarre dimensional paradoxes, quantum fluctuations in the very fabric of time and space, and alternate universes a micron apart from our own. But I think I just got a migraine trying to sort this all out. I'm going into my quarters and taking a nap.
I, too, am experiencing similar cranial discomfort. So I shall retire to my quarters, turn off all the lights, and make soft keening noises while curled in the fetal position.
Don't worry about that reaction, Lumpy. They're earthlings. You know their primitive brains have a hard time understanding meta-narrative. For what it's worth, I thought your story was top-notch, old chum. A number one.
You really think so? Aw, shucks. I'm already working on another one, you know.
Oh, really? And what's that one about?
It's a love story between you and Penny.
On second thought, perhaps you had better hang up that electronic notepad for a while. There's plenty of spacecraft maintenance that'll keep you busy for a long time.
Will Lumpy hang up his electronic notepad, or will he once again take up a life of fanfic? Would Penny Parker really have had the patience to proofread such a ponderous piece? And why did Arthur and Henrietta get married anyway? It's probably best that these questions will not be answered in the next episode of Redshift, where it's also a sure bet that nobody will say...
Oh, funny, I don't remember writing any exciting chase music into the story.
Nor...
Cake and grief counseling will be available at the conclusion of the tour. Thank you for visiting Subatomic Studios.
And most hopefully not...
Next year, cosplay.
In Redshift, Interplanetary Do-Gooder, Redshift was played by Michael McAfee. Josh Nicholson played Lumpy. Rob Noyes was Dr. Albert. And Renee Johnson played Penny Parker. Joy Fowler played the tour guide. Michael Simon was Jet Arthur Kosnowski. Juliet Fowler played Henrietta Nilkonk. And our special guest villains were Mayor Freed, Christian Sterling, Julia Lunetta, and Brian Rust as the Spedicosians. Redshift was written by Rob Noyes, Pete Goodrich, Michael McAfee, and Brian Rust. Neil Marsh is our technical director and Renee Johnson our producer. This episode was directed by Rob Noyes. And I'm Gilly Rosenthal, your narrator, reminding you that Redshift has been brought to you by sugar-infused triple-grain Cosmoflakes, the breakfast of humanoids, and by Harstad's freeze-dried ice cream sandwiches. Future dystopia never tasted so good. This has been a presentation of the Post-Meridian Radio Players in association with the Aresia Ultraviolet Network. Stay tuned for Second Shift in most of these auditoriums. Good night!